through this in the series through 1 John. It's been my prayer and my great desire, starting with my own life, that God would use this epistle to cause us to live, Christian, with greater joy, greater assurance that we belong to Him, that we are His people in Christ, if indeed we are, of course. Because as Christians in this life, there are a lot of things, aren't there, that can discourage us. We live in these present bodies of sin and death, along with creation groaning for our full redemption and when all things will be made new. We deal with sinful desires constantly that battle against the desires of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit in our lives. We face ongoing temptation. We easily wander from our Lord, don't we, and His Word, and start living by our own strength and our own wisdom. We get our eyes off of Christ and onto ourselves. So, as we're honest with ourselves, we do struggle. We do go through times, perhaps especially in the midst of long and dark trials, or as we find ourselves falling into certain sins in our lives over and over again. We go through times where we struggle with assurance that we belong to Christ, that we're His. We're weak. We are weak. But you know what? Our Lord knows that. Our Lord knows that. Look at what His Word says in the midst of some wonderful assurances to His people in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, pretty far. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. It doesn't feel like that in our own struggles, does it? But this is truth in Christ for the believer. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And then notice the connection. For what? For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we need. He knows the long, dark nights. He knows how to assure us in His sufficiency, in His grace. And this is what we've been seeing, haven't we, in 1 John? Christ working through the pastoral heart of His apostle, ministering to His church, caring for His people, assuring those whose lives do truly evidence that they are His, and warning those whose lives do not. And Christ, you know, Christ wants His people to be assured in their relationship with Him. We come this morning as we continue the passage, really, that we began last week on loving the brethren, loving one another. How? Not as the world loves, self-focused, self-directed. No, loving one another as Christ has first loved us. We come now to some great assuring truths for the believer in Christ. We're going to start reading with the verse we left off with last week, verse 18, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Let's stand again as we put ourselves before God's holy word this morning and seeking His Spirit to work through it in our lives. Little children, verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. We know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit, whom he has given us. Father in heaven, we just come to you, and as we approach this portion of your holy, inspired word, and we again seek the leading and direction of your Spirit to open eyes, to open ears, that we might see and hear what you have prepared for us, what you have given us in this text, to assure our hearts before you, not in ourselves, but in your Son, that you would be glorified by this morning, as the fruit of this passage is lived out in our lives this day and this week. We pray it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's first look here in this text. First point in our outline this morning, assurance for troubled hearts. There's assurance for troubled hearts. As John writes to the church, he knows that there are those reading this epistle, or who will be hearing this epistle read in the early church, who will be struggling with assurance in their relationship with Christ, whose own hearts are condemning them as they're filled with doubts and fears, as they're dealing with weaknesses and failures before God. And I can tell you that from my own life and what I've been going through this year, there were portions of this sermon that were written with tears, as this is very personal and just has ministered to me so preciously this week. I hope the Lord will continue to do that for all of us this morning. But when our hearts condemn us, how do we know that we are of the truth? John says to believers in Christ, verse 19, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. John understands that there are going to be times when our heart will condemn us. And as a result, we will struggle with assurance in our relationship with God. Think about earlier in this epistle, how he's already dealt with the fact that we will sin. Remember in chapter 1, he said, if we say we have no sin, what are we? We're liars. Now, yes, it's true he's also dealt with the issue of a habitual lifestyle of sin, a characteristic and unrepentant pattern of sin that demonstrates one who doesn't truly know Christ, who is not of God by the new birth, because if they are of God, they will not have, that will not be the desire, the direction of their heart as a true believer in Christ. But he has not ignored the fact that believers in this life do sin and will continue to struggle with sin until we are with the Lord. And the believer in Christ not only struggles with their sin, but by the new birth, by the Holy Spirit within us, leading us through the Word of God, what's the believer constantly being led to do? They're led to be drawn away from our sin, to confess our sin. Remember chapter 1? To continually keep putting our eyes back on Christ alone as our righteous advocate, as the never-failing propitiation for our sins. And here he says, we will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Isn't that comforting? God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, you know, when we come and we say, I blew it again. For the 100th time. The 70 times, 7th time, the 490th time, if you can count that many times. Can I really be a child of God? There's comfort in knowing that even though we're not sure, God is. God has promised, in fact, for his children in the struggles of this life, he has promised that he has us where? In the palm of his hand. That he will not let us go. And that he is working to sanctify us, a long lifetime process to conform us to the likeness of his Son. And so he's not sitting on his throne saying, the 100th time? Really? 490th time? Really? Are you even mine? I'm not really sure about that now. No, no. For those who are his children in Christ, who trust him and love him, even with all their struggles and weaknesses, God says, this one is mine. And I'm going to keep pursuing them. I'm going to keep doing, they may not even know what they really need. I know what they really need, to keep turning them from their sins and focusing on themselves and keep drawing them back to my son who died and rose again for them. I'm going to keep forgiving them. I'm going to keep picking them up and changing them, purifying them for my glory, using them for my kingdom. Keep on satisfying them in the goodness of my will. And though they may not readily see it, God knows, right? They're growing. They're growing in holiness, growing in my grace, growing in love for me and a hatred of their sin, and growing in assurance that they are really mine. Isn't that comforting to us, Christian? That as we doubt, God doesn't. That we are as secure in God's hand as we were when we first came to believe in Christ. And nothing's ever going to change that. If you struggle with that truth, I would encourage you to go back and read the words of Christ in John chapter 10. Just some precious, assuring truths for the believer in Christ, as well as some warnings for the unbeliever. But I encourage you to go back and read John 10. But notice how John says in verse 19, we will know by this that we are of the truth. See, we've been seeing that throughout John, 1 John, haven't we? We can know. God wants us to know, Christian, that we are of the truth and belong to him. That we've been born again and are by faith in Christ. Remember the purpose statement of this epistle? It's been a few weeks since we've read it. Look at it again, 1 John 5:13. Just as he did in his gospel, here he says why he's written this epistle. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know. Who? The believer in Christ. May know that you have eternal life. Now, here in 1 John 3:19, specifically, what is he pointing the true believer to in the context here? Because he says what? We will know by this that we are of the truth. By what? There are many different things, different evidences that he gives to believers in Christ throughout this epistle. But here, he's specifically referring to what he's just said in verses 14 to 18. In regard to having, what? A love for the brethren, as Christ first loved us freely, unconditionally, sacrificially. Loving God's people, not just with words, but in deed and truth. He says, we will know by that, by our Christ-like love of the brethren, of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will know by that that we are of the truth. A sacrificial, demonstrated love for the people of God. Those who love him, those who love his word. That's evidence, verse 14, that's evidence, John says, that we have passed out of death into life, that we've been born again, that we belong to Christ. And he goes on and says, we'll know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. Don't trust whatever your heart feels, whatever your heart is telling you all the time. Why? What does Scripture tell us about our own hearts? It's deceitful. Above all things, Jeremiah 17, 9 tells us the truth that the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? See, we aren't to follow our hearts. We're to follow the Word of God. Now, as we've talked about before, emotions are part of how God has created us. We don't deny that we have emotions. We feel things. It's a beautiful part of God's creation. the variety and complexity of our emotions and responding to life and trials as well as blessings. Emotions are good. They're a blessing. They're part of how God created us. But emotions were never intended to lead us, to control our beliefs, or to dictate our words and our actions. That's dangerous, isn't it? No, that's what the sure word of God is for. Our emotions need to be brought into submission to the word of God. Need to be brought to trust in the will of God as revealed to us in the Scriptures. Following our own hearts, following our own feelings, will take us in all kinds of different directions. As Paul says elsewhere in another spot of Scripture, we'll be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, living our lives based on how we feel rather than standing firm on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. And as our hearts condemn us, verse 20, looking to ourselves, looking to the world, looking to our circumstances, living based on our feelings, as our hearts condemn us, the truth of who we are in Christ should keep assuring us before God. As we keep meditating on His Word, as we keep going to Him in prayer, as we keep in close fellowship with His church, with godly brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll keep our minds and our hearts settled in this, in what God has said, the sure and unchanging Word of God, that regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I can see right now, I'm going to believe this. I'm going to believe what God has told me. So it's no wonder that Psalm 1 speaks of our delight being where? In the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, meditating on His Word day and night. And when we're doing that, what does Psalm 1 picture? What does it say we'll be like? We'll be like a tree firmly planted where? In the middle of a desert? No. We'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that's fruitful for the Lord, that doesn't dry out and wither, that prospers for the kingdom of God. Let's just believe God. Let's just believe God, verse 20, who is greater than our heart and knows all things. Well, that changes everything, isn't it? That what God says is true, that it's up to Him, not me. I mean, if God's not going to keep His promise, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. But God is faithful. And God does keep His promise. Be assured daily by the truth of what He says. This is what we talked about earlier about preaching the gospel to ourselves every day. Where do we get that? From the Word of God. And see, Christian, daily, how that's working itself out in our lives. See changes taking place in your life. See changes that only God could produce in you. See, if we have a humble and honest view of ourselves, we'll realize where we'd be without the Lord, what we'd be like, how we'd be dealing with life, what would be the pattern of our lives and our relationships. But do we see things that only God could do in us? Changes only God could make in us, that this isn't me, it's Christ living in me. Not putting our assurance, as we've been saying throughout this series, basing our assurance on an outward decision that you once made, a prayer you once prayed, or anything you have done, but in what God has done in you and is continuing to do in you. His work of grace that has changed your heart and is patiently and faithfully working to conform you to the likeness of Christ. Things like the fruit of the Spirit. You know that, right? What the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Is this your pattern of your life? Is this your heart's desire as you keep walking with the Lord? Only God could do that in you. Here in this context, John is pointing us to the evidence of a Christ-like love for for the people of God, for the body of Christ that characterizes us. It should be great concern when we hear people professing to be a Christian, professing to know God and love God, but have separated themselves from the local church. Where's the love of the brother? Where's the love of the Lord by coming together in worship and service and submission and sacraments and, you know, the preaching of the word? This is the heart of a true believer in Christ. Well, there's more John wants to give us as we go on in the text. Second, assurance and answered prayer. Do you know that? Answered prayer should give you assurance that you belong to Christ. But let's be careful to see what he says in context. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Okay, that's what we're, you know, that's what we're trusting God for, right? Not looking to ourselves, but looking to the Lord, looking to his word, the gospel. A confidence before him. A heart that does not condemn us. A heart that's not trusting ourselves, but's trusting God's word and God's grace and his forgiveness in Christ and seeing him at work in our prayers. Verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Not only do we have the assurance of a relationship with God because of the love he's given us for the brethren, but also because answered prayer is being experienced in our lives. Not self-focused prayers to get whatever we want, but Christ-centered prayers where our desires are aligned with his desires, the seeking of a life that's pleasing to him. Look at this again. Okay, now connect these verses together and connect it with verse 23 and 24. Beloved, verse 21, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is this commandment that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. God is a God who answers the prayers of his people. God is a God who answers the prayers of his people. Are you experiencing that? This is evidence that we are truly abiding in Christ and he in us. Now, I think it's important to be reminded here and connect this with what Jesus said back in the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, and that night in the upper room, the apostle John was there. He heard the Lord proclaim. There's a lot of connections between the Gospel of John and the Epistle of John. Look at what the Lord said there in John 15, and see this helping us to understand what John goes on to explain of what the Lord has first said in John 15. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can bear no fruit for the kingdom of God. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. As you're abiding in me, Jesus says, and my words are abiding in you, what? My will, my desires, my purposes, as this is true, you will be experiencing answered prayer. My fruit will be produced in you, a life pleasing to God. In verse 8, he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, do you see then how John expands on this in the words of our Lord here in 1 John 3? Whatever we ask, John says, whatever those are who are his ask, we receive from him answered prayer. Seeing how? demonstrated how? Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, bearing much fruit, becoming more like Christ. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We trust in him. We seek him. We rest in him. We love him. We want to live for him who died and rose again for us, and then love one another just as he commanded us, bearing the fruit of Christ in our lives. Specifically, in the context here, again, in Christ-like love for one another. You see, there is blessing that comes as we walk with God and abide in his word. And it's not that his blessings, we've got to understand this correctly as we're putting this text together. It's not that his blessings, God's blessings, are ever merited, are ever earned or deserved by us. No, as sinners, his blessings are always grace. It's always grace toward us in Christ. That's the gospel. And neither are his true blessings experienced and enjoyed in getting whatever we want, whatever we desire in our own flesh. They're experienced and enjoyed as we receive the things that are his will and as we follow his desires for our lives. These are the prayers that Christ has promised to answer. Look ahead to what John will go on to clarify in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So one commentator says here, our obedience does not earn answers to prayer. It simply puts us in the right position to receive his mercies, his blessings through answered prayer. So I think here's the point. If our Christ-centered, Scripture-directed prayers are being answered, let me say that again. If our Christ-centered, Scripture-directed prayers are being answered, it is evidence that we are his. It is evidence that we belong to him, to Christ. I can certainly testify, especially over these last several months, that the closer I walk with the Lord, even through the midst of hardships and trials and difficulties, the closer I walk with the Lord, guess what happens to my prayers? They become less self-focused and become more Christ-centered, more kingdom-focused in the desires of my heart. So verse 22 should not be taken out of context to think, oh, whatever we ask, we receive from him. Okay, God, give me this. Give me that. I want nicer things. I want an easier life. I want you to just make my life go the way I think it should go. That's not what John is talking about, is he? And speaking of this confidence before God in answered prayer. And you know what? That wouldn't be good or loving of God to do that anyway, would it? To just be our personal genie. See, the Lord knows what we truly need, doesn't he? What we truly need to seek him, to love him, to live for him, and not for things that are passing away. And that work is unique for each of us as individuals, isn't it? And what he takes us through, what he brings into our lives. He is working in love, Christian, to conform us to the likeness of his Son. Would you rather have Christ? Would you rather have an easier life? Would you rather have more stuff in this world? No, John here is speaking of receiving from God things we are asking, things we are desiring, what? Coming out of living in obedience to his word. Coming out of doing things that are pleasing in his sight. Which comes out of what? Abiding in Christ. See how these verses fit together? Having our minds set upon Christ, our hearts seeking the will of Christ, having, as Paul says, the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ going to look like in your life if that's shaping your prayers? Having the mind of Christ isn't going to be focused on getting more stuff for myself. The mind of Christ is going to be praying that we'd become more like Him. The mind of Christ is going to be praying that for patience and trials and contentment in what the Lord has given us. The mind of Christ is going to be seeking to persevere and not lose heart, praying that He would deliver us from anxiety and fill us with thankfulness. Guarding our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus by the peace that passes all understanding. God has been answering that prayer over and over in my life the last several months. The mind of Christ is going to be praying that He would guide our steps, guide our decisions to advance His kingdom. That He would give us boldness in our witness. That He would use us to bring people to Himself. That He would open eyes to the sufficiency and beauty of Christ and His saving grace. The mind of Christ will be focused on serving, putting others before ourselves, focused on the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal. That's the mind of Christ. We're going to be praying not to get more stuff for ourselves to make our lives easier. We're going to be praying for the glory of God. We're going to be seeing God answer those prayers in ways better than we could have imagined. The bottom line, in keeping His commandments and doing things that are pleasing in His sight, we're going to be praying for the things that Christ would pray for. We're going to be asking according to His will, chapter 5. We're going to be praying in His name. Now, there are those who would tell us today that we as God's children in this life deserve, you're the children of God, you're the children of the King, you deserve a bigger income. You deserve a nicer house. You deserve a new car. Why are you driving that old clunker? And they say that God wants us to have them. And so if we have enough faith, we will ask God to give those things to us and expect them to be ours. Even some are saying, when I read someone saying this, I said, that can't be true. I looked it up. I Googled it. I came after result after result after result of people who are saying this, that we should not just expect God to give these things to us, we should demand them of God. Truth is, we don't demand anything from God. Read the end of Romans chapter 11 for one place. We come before God humbly, seeking His will, whose thoughts are far above our thoughts, whose ways are so far higher than our own ways, right? Seeking His will, and in His grace and mercy, He is pleased to accomplish His work, the work of His eternal kingdom in people's lives through our prayers. It's when we pray according to His will. Well, what's His will? Open the book. His will is revealed in Scripture. That's why we were talking the other day, weren't we, Dan, about just the more we're in the Word, the more we see our prayers being enriched and our prayers being shaped by the Word of God, praying the Word of God. When we pray in the name of Christ, when our heart's desires in our prayers is for the glory of God, those are the prayers He's going to answer. And that is what's going to give us greater confidence before God that we are truly His. I know, many of us here are experiencing that. We've seen God answering these kind of prayers in our lives, in our families, in our church. And He's providing greater confidence, greater assurance that we do believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we do love one another just as He commanded us, and that we are abiding in Him and He in us, that we are His. And we give Him the praise for that. One last thing to see in this chapter, the end of verse 24. Assurance in the abiding Holy Spirit. Assurance in the abiding Holy Spirit. He ends the chapter in our text by saying, We know by this that he abides in us. By what? By the Spirit whom he has given us. And that's going to lead us right into the next chapter. Christ assures his people that he abides in them by the work of his indwelling Spirit. And here's where you want to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful chapter of assurance for the believer in Christ from beginning to end. And within that chapter, Paul speaks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. If you're a child of God, guess what you're going to be experiencing? The ongoing leading of his Holy Spirit in your lives, in your life. His leading in sanctification, putting to death the sins of the body, in seeking his will. The Holy Spirit's going to be testifying to your spirit that you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit's going to be helping us in our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit's going to be interceding for us in our prayers, never leaving us nor forsaking us. And Paul makes clear there that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer in Christ. He says there, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, what's true? They don't belong to Christ. So when a believer sins, what happens? Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, they're grieved, just as the Lord is grieved by that sin. When a believer is rejoicing in God, it's the Spirit of God within them that's rejoicing in the things that God rejoices in. We know by our new lives in Christ that Christ truly lives in us by his indwelling Spirit. That's an amazing and wonderful thing. So, why, ask yourself, why are all these changes taking place in my life? Why are you different today than when you first came to believe on Christ? Because when you trusted Christ, God the Spirit came to live inside of you. And he has been working ever since and continues to work to make you like God the Son, to make you like Jesus. And that work will continue until you are home with him in glory. And these changes that have taken place and are taking place within you are evidence that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. If these things we've been talking about today from this passage are true of you, take assurance from that. That's what John's writing this for. Don't focus on yourself and your struggles. That's what Satan wants you to do, of course. Don't focus on your weaknesses and your failures. Look to Christ, his faithfulness, his grace, his promises. Look at the evidences of his work in your life. Are you a changed person? Are the things that God cares about the things that you care about? Do you love his people? Are you praying his will and seeing him working through your prayers? Are you led by his indwelling Spirit? And let me just say, if these things are not true of you, they can be today by his saving grace. Respond to the gospel. Turn from your sin and just look to Christ and Christ alone to forgive you your sins and make you new. God's own word tells us in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what's it say? You will be saved. For Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. He abounds in riches for all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for those of us he has saved, he wants us to know that we are his. Yes, doubts will come. Our heart at times will condemn us, but praise God, he is greater than our heart and knows all things. Continue to grow in his grace. Be strengthened in your faith as you walk with Christ and in the joy and assurance he gives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for the encouragement it is to your people. Not in the things that of this world, not in our circumstances, things that are passing away and ever changing, our feelings, but in the sure truth of the gospel, the sure your sure word and promises and the sure work of Christ once for all delivered for us. Father, we just pray for your continued guidance of your Spirit, for continued meditation on this text, that you would cause your people to walk in greater joy and assurance that they belong to you. And that, Father, you would be gracious to those who are truly not your people, even if they, or everyone assumes they are, but they don't have Christ. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in something they did, and it's not working. It's not giving them any assurance. Cause them to look to Christ, to be humbled and repent, true repentance, and faith alone in Jesus Christ, in his sufficient grace. We pray this all to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together.